ཨ་གི་ཅི་ཅི་ཅི་བྱ་དོ་ནམ་ཅི་དོ་ལ་བེན་ཅི་སང་ཅི་དོ་བར་ཞོ་སང་ཅི་ཅི་དོ་ཐོ་ཅི་ཅི་ནམ་ལ་ཞོ་བ་དོ་དང་ནེ་ཅི་ཨ་གི་ཅི་ཅི་ཅི་བྱ་དོ་ནམ་ཅི་དོ་ལ་བེན་ཅི་སང་ཅི་དོ་བར་ཞོ་ང་གི་དོ་ཅི་ཅི་ནམ་ལ་ཞོ་བ་དོ་དང་ནེ་ཅི་ཨ་གི་ཅི་ཅི་ཅི་བྱ་དོ་ནམ་ཅི་དོ་ལ་བེན་ཅི་སང་ཅི་དོ་བར་ཞོ་ང་གི་དོ་ཅི་ Ah, kisi nyima ondo, da ngondi mili ya, ane, ji yu yu tunga, dine ka yu yu tunga, dine na yu yu tunga, dine chi yu yu tunga, siya chi ti kwa shu chi, da jesu chasang gari jili gora se ne, da ngondi le da nyumma bu wongi, chi kiawa li, kiawa chi len chinje la, di tunga di yu yu horwa da, ki da da le da nyumma bu wongi kiawa len ba, di tunga di mewa siya la, Tak leda nyomong orang itu milih baca cek ukuran, ni cek milih baca bala nyomong bala milih baca ukuran. Jadi ada nyomong bala milih baca bala, yang itu ngah sebab ngah raja tu biasa itu cuma cuma di mana milih baca ukuran. Jadi ada sebala, yang itu cik tonya tu tu lokom ni, tu ni lam nyamnen cina, kaje kejar tu lam nyamnen cina milih baca ukuran macam siapa milih baca tu, yang mana? Di ini ada yang itu ini kita lihat lam nyamnen cina lihat ni. Kejur tu ya, dan kejur saya tu suka untuk tu cekol ya, saya ni kisah ini susun macam ni.
So, good evening, everyone. Last time we looked at the condition of humans in terms of the sufferings of birth, sickness, aging, or birth, aging, sickness, and death. And we spoke about where all of this comes from. So when we looked at these four types of suffering, we're talking about our current situation. Then we looked at the cause and the process that this all comes from. So we saw how this comes from causes and conditions we have accumulated, in particular contaminated karma. And where does this contaminated karma come from? It comes from actions of body, speech, and mind performed by a mind that is under the influence or dominated by the afflictions. Then we spoke about, so we have all these this array of afflictions, anger, attachment, jealousy, and the like. And these have as the root the mind of true grasping, the mind that grasps at the self as existing in the way that it appears, and it appears to be truly existent. So that is the root of our afflictions, and it's acting under the afflictions that causes us to be in this situation now, where we are experiencing the ripening results of contaminated karma, and it ripens in this way of our experiences of suffering, of aging, of birth, of aging, of sickness and death. Then we also, last time, we looked at how to eliminate this situation that we're in, how to resolve the situation we're in. And that comes down to cutting this root, this true grasping. If we eliminate that, the whole process that follows after that will cease. And so how do we eliminate that? We need to apply the direct antidote, and that is the wisdom realizing emptiness. That is the direct antidote to the mind of true grasping. And to develop this direct antidote, of course it takes a great deal of contemplation, a repeated meditation. And for this meditation to be successful, it needs to be powered by a large store of merit. So this contemplation and this accumulation of merit comes about through the practicing of the path. And then last time we again mentioned the kinds of practices that one should engage in to accumulate the merit so as to power our meditation. So we mentioned practices such as generosity, guarding ethical conduct, practicing patience, choice, perseverance, etc. So these are the practices that are generally we encourage to do so as to power our meditation, which will lead to the cutting of the root of samsara. So today we're going to continue with the presentation in the text. So we're near the bottom of page 85. So just to say, so when Genda's talking in Tibetan, if you can read along with the text, and because we're not going to read the text word for word. So here we're continuing with the presentation and talking about some other forms of suffering that we know very well, such as these kinds of situations we meet, either meeting unwanted situations or being separated from situations that we want to be in. So the first of the four here is the fear of meeting hated enemies. So what's an enemy? Because it's really quite a strong word when we hear about an enemy. We may think, well, I don't really have someone I call an enemy. But really what an enemy is meant, what is meant by an enemy in this context is someone who stops us from achieving what we want. So we want something, we would like to have something, we'd like things to go a certain way, and someone who hinders that. That person is what we mean by an enemy in this context. Usually all of us, when we refer to or we talk about our enemies, certainly in this context of what stops us getting what we want, we're referring to people around us. So, and we're looking at the external, and this is the usual object when we of the term enemy, someone outside of us. However, the real enemy is not this external person. It is our internal, some of our internal minds, particularly these afflictive minds, these deluded minds. Those are our real enemies. And so we can't see them, we can't touch them, but those are our real enemies, because it's these afflictive minds that cause us all our suffering and all our unhappiness. And moreover, it's due to these afflictive minds that we engage with others in a harmful way or a hurtful way. So our negative speech, our negative actions, all come from the presence of these negative minds. So these internal minds, these internal afflictive minds, these are actually our real enemies.
Shalom. ne ke har chi yue la yin sa la re sa ji ne la ji ti zo wo shu du ti zhi gu ye sa zo wo shu da zo wo ga de shi zhi gu ye la sa ya la yin sa ro ji ne chi ru ba ke da ke gu ban gu ba de zo wo cha ba nang lo du a ne chi lu ti ne gan de sa ge ye sa ni ka ju ji nang lo de zang mo se wo le sa o du sa re sa la ji ji ne en le ba ya de ge chi ru ba de la o da ke So, but the Nalo, you are Hakuina, Jesan, Churan, Dibusia, Sayed, the Semba Nalo, and the Yomon, Nalo, Yomon, Dikamati, or Dibusia, the Chosen, Dimavas, you were, but Subu Chilo, Churamo, Subu Java, Subu Tin the Java, than the Nang Yomon, some of the two Mares. That he, Shalam Nalo, some of Sena, Nalo, some of Sugo, the Kirahu to us, Dinashin, and the Dibu Dago, and the Nang, Nalo, Yomon, but the Yamavas, you were, yes, or Pay Dinashin, Chivares, and to.
There's a story in the text that illustrates the importance of identifying our real enemies and thereby being able to eliminate our real enemies. So in ancient times in India, there was a great Buddhist teacher called Aryadeva. And so one day he was up in the mountains in somewhere where it was very cold and where people needed to wash themselves with cold water and the like. And there was a Hindu teacher there who engaged in this as a purification practice. So he'd wash himself in the winter with this freezing mountain water, and this was a practice of purification. So Aryadeva was in the area, and he took a glass bottle, so some kind of container, I guess, and he put excrement inside and sealed it. And then he started to wash and rub this container. And then the Hindu teacher came up to him and said, "What are you doing?" And so Aryadeva said, "I'm trying to clean this excrement." And the Hindu teacher said to him, "But don't be stupid. You're just cleaning the outside of the container. If you want to clean it up, the excrement, you need to get inside and clean that. You need to remove the excrement and then clean it." And so Aryadeva said, "Yes, that's exactly what needs to be done." So in the same way, if you're trying to purify and you're trying to remove obstacles and impurities, taking care of your external, washing your body, wearing clean clothes, etc., this isn't the method. One needs to look inside, because our faults and our negativities and our faults and our negativities, they reside inside, and that is where we need to focus our attention.
And the Nicky on the said he that was sometimes the Tanga to get debuted in Drialia by changing in Midland of the Jalagro. That was Simpu Yako Simpu Jevena, Nicoran Jacha, mother, Queen Alo, Numo Bashir, Vada, Mandula Magagan, Mandula Magagan, Numo Kondrochi, Diggy Gunelachi, Kondro Diggy, and the Gunelachi as a Nevaki for it. They never coronjula de Chayorva.
As was said earlier, what is meant by this term enemy, and whenever we hear about an enemy in the context of the Buddha Dharma, it's really got a broad meaning. So the person who stops us from getting what we want. However, when we are encountering one of these situations and we are annoyed with someone, and they because they're really stopping us from stopping things going in the way that we want them to go, if we stand back and reflect on the situation, what's making them act in whatever way they're doing this way that's annoying us, what's causing them to act in that way isn't their own nature, isn't them as a person, but it's actually the presence of these deluded minds, these afflictive minds within their own continuum. So because this person we're calling enemy, or we're looking at as an enemy, because they have, for example, attachments in their mind, and therefore they are, or maybe jealousy for something that we have, they are therefore relating to us in a particular way. And so when we then say, oh, that person is the source of my problems, actually, if we're going to point a finger outside, it's at their, what is going on in their mind, their afflicted mind. It's not actually the person. They are just right now under the sway of an afflictive mind, and that is the, what is causing them to act in an afflictive way. And then similarly, what is going on in our mind, we're getting annoyed, and it's our afflictions that are causing this to go on. So we have this relationship of dependency, and so our unhappy minds, our suffering minds, has this relationship of dependency with the afflictive minds of others and ourselves, and this is where our suffering is coming from.
ཁོ་ལ་ཡ་ནེ་ཅིག་ཉེ་དང་དང་ཁོ་ལ་ཡ་ཅིག་ཤེ་ཤེ་དང་ན་གོ་དི་ཤུ་ཤེ་རུ་མ་དང་དེ་ནེ་ཤེ་ལ་ཅེ་རུ་མ་རུ་བ་ཅེ་དང་དེ་མེ་བ་སོ་ཡ་གི་ད་ཐབ་ལམ་དེ་ཁ་ཡོ་རེ་སེ་ན་ང་ཅིག་གི་ད་དེ་རུ་བ་ཁོང་ཆོ་ཁོང་ཆོ་གི་ཉེན་པོ་ལ་སོ་མ་ཉེན་པོ་དེ་སོ་བ་རེ་བ་ད་སོ་བ་རུ་བ་ན་དེ་ནེ་གི་ད་དེ་ནེ་གི་ཁ་ཅོ་གི 那个人就给他掌握姐姐，爹那个人就控制了，爹那姐把呢，过休息了，主要嘛都，过没了，最讨厌干了好些个活。
Thinking about really where that our true enemy is, what's going on inside of us, these internal afflictive minds, and what's happening in terms of our external enemy, actually within that person too, it's also the afflictive minds that are causing this unwanted situation to arise. So if we think about this and we see the reason behind this, or the reality that this situation is in accordance with reality, then it becomes very clear that arguing with this person, scolding with this person, or even hitting this person, this will not solve the problem, because this is again just dealing with the externals, not dealing with the minds. What needs to be eliminated are the presence of the afflictive minds within ourselves and within others. That is what needs to be eliminated. And the way to eliminate that obviously isn't through scolding or responding in a harsh manner, but to develop the internal antidotes to the afflictive minds that are present within our own continuum. So if we're getting annoyed with someone, the antidote is, of course, patience. So by cultivating that antidote, we will eliminate our own enemy, our real enemy, this internal afflictive mind of anger. And likewise, if we're generating minds of loving kindness, then too, we will be eliminating all of these internal enemies of ours. So that is the way to solve our problems and to eliminate our enemies, is through generating the antidotes and cultivating those antidotes. Because if we respond in a harsh way externally, we will just make the problem worse, we'll exacerbate the problem. However, if we develop the internal contrary minds, then we will resolve this issue. So when you read the presentation in the text here under the fear of meeting hated enemies, it's quite clear that this was written in the context of ancient Tibet. So the direct meaning, as we read the words here, of course, is related to another time and place. The hidden meaning, or the hidden meaning, is the indirect meaning that is equally pertinent to ourselves.
And 되게 노력을 막 보여야는 단 인공 파중 괜찮아군 직례기를 구마리에서 중요하다. 되네 야 장기다 되네기 따라서 보면 사가롱 심지어 자기를 심지어 되는 중은 되네기 그 니인다 체 뉴지 그디나디도 제 중제나 바 제 중고디 셈나 강아 가르가서 지지 구마리 레메요 와서 도바 되네 안에 심지어 Yana Ningung Gumali on Semitova, Yana Tenau Gumali on Semitova, Yana Changita Tagus on Semitova, the Nigi Dova Mango Jungurova, the Nigi Dova Mango Chichi, the Nigi Nakanga, the Tunga, the Nigi Semi Chikanga Gores.
One of the illustrations here in the text is talking about how people, of course, the more one has, the more one worries about what one has. There's always the threat of being robbed during the day or thieves coming quietly at night. So the way the text describes it is, we could, if we imagine the situation of nomads in Tibet, in the day they are away from where they're staying because they're out in the pastures with their flock. So if thieves come in the day, they can quite easily rob their dwelling place. Or at night when they're sleeping, then wild animals such as wolves and the like can come and can kill some of their animals. So day and night, we all have there's always this potential of worrying and being concerned about our material state or our wealth and our possessions, and always needing to take care and protect and be concerned that we may lose what we have. So the meaning here really is about the more that we have, it tends to lead to more worrying about losing what we have, our situation changing. So really, the more that we have, we are more likely to lose our mental peace by being engaged in worrying over our possessions. So we talk about it more broadly and not so much in the context of nomads. In general, we do have these worries. We worry about a certain lifestyle. We need to accumulate a certain amount of wealth to have such a lifestyle. So we need to work hard and really put energy and effort into our work. And then we worry whether it will still go well despite making this effort. And by going well, will we actually then achieve earn enough to be able to have all these things that we want and to guard and to make sure that we don't lose the lifestyle that we have. So there is this constant process of worry and concern and that we have to try and gain what we want and not lose what we have. At the top of page 86, we have a quote from Nagarjuna. Amassing wealth, watching over it, and making it grow will wear you out. understanding that riches bring unending ruin and understand that riches bring unending ruin and destruction. Now, meaning here is to accumulate wealth and accumulate possessions and have the lifestyle that we want, we need to really make a lot of effort. And in undertaking that effort, we are very likely to accumulate negativities, because we'll have this attachment dominant in our mind of wanting to have a particular result, and to achieve that result, we may well engage in negative acts to try and achieve that result. So we need to, on one hand, make a lot of effort to have the lifestyle and the possessions we want, and to achieve that, we will often engage in negativities. And then, in addition to this, we'll be worried about losing what we have and thinking about how can we protect what we have, etc. So these are all worries that we know from our own life, and this really disturbs any kind of mental peace that we may have.
You know, then,
I mean, the quote from Milarepa, just below that from Nagarjuna, and there he says how... in the quote from Milarepa here, it says how at first when we accumulating our wealth, we become very happy from this, because we have now have a lovely home, we have many, inside the home we have wonderful possessions and the like, and we actually quite pleased at what we're achieving and how things are going. And likewise, others, friends and family and the like will praise us, and not actually praise us, but praise our material possessions. However, so whilst we have this happiness, what we immediately lack is contentment. Because as we accumulate, we want more and more and more. This, we never feel any contentment with what we have, because there is this insatiability about the possessions that we have. Even if we have $100,000 saved, we will want another $100,000. We'll be have this goal of now $200,000. And if we manage to get that saved, then for sure $500,000 will look that much more attractive and achievable. And the amazing thing is, now that we're having some material success and we have some wealth, because of this desire for more, this, which comes from this lack of contentment, despite having an abundance, we become even more miserly than we were before. And this is because we actually are grasping for more and to have more possessions. So what we have, even though it's more than sufficient, we don't share with others. So therefore we don't engage in acts of generosity to the three jewels and the like, but rather our mind is dominated by how can I protect what I have, how can I add to this, etc. And in the same way that having this wealth attracts friends, it also attracts people whose motivation is even worse and want to try and defraud us and trick us out of our wealth. So all these problems come from this mind that's seeking worldly possessions. Maybe an expression to illustrate this. So to illustrate that how this lack of contentment just leads to ongoing suffering and ongoing mental difficulties. So for example, if the weather is really hot, if the weather is really hot, we may use a little handheld fan to cool down. So while using the handheld fan, because the weather's hot, we can't rest for a moment. We have to keep fanning ourselves, because if we stop immediately, we'll be overwhelmed by the heat. So similarly, someone who's lacks contentment and has a strong desire for more wealth, they engage in they have no contentment. They're continuously having to strive for more wealth. And likewise, in the same way that this hand is moving all the time to fan the body, thieves and untrue friends are attracted to us in the same way. So people who find themselves in this situation, actually, despite their increasing material wealth and their increasing possessions and the like, they would find that their unhappiness and their mental sufferings just tend to grow, because there's always this worry about people, can they trust people? Are people who are appearing as friends really my friends? Are other people, are they engaging with me in the way that they present themselves? Or do they have an ulterior motive to possibly defraud me and the like? So there's always this worry about both one's friends and one's and thieves and everyone that one encounters. What is really going on here? And these kinds of mental problems, or this unhappiness, this comes due to the lack of contentment. This lack of contentment is the cause that gives rise to all of these difficulties. So Milarepa then here says, here at the bottom of the quote, that he wants to cast off this millstone, because this millstone here that drags one down or keeps one trapped in samsara, this is the afflictions. So here it's particularly the mind the lack of contentment, but it really refers to all the afflictions. They are what keep us trapped within samsara. So Milarepa, he came to see that this is the actual situation. And he turned away from being from these minds that are keeping him trapped within samsara.
That
The greater this lack of contentment and the more causes that we have on our continuum that give rise to, that come from this lack of contentment, the more that we have of these kinds of minds, the unhappier we are. This lack of contentment, the stronger it is, the stronger our own unhappiness. So therefore, we need to really look at this this lack of contentment and try and eliminate it and develop the opposite mind, the mind of contentment. Because the meaning here of what we're hearing here isn't that we should have no possessions, we don't need money and the like. We do need a salary, we do need possessions. But we need to try and have this mind of contentment. Because when we have this mind that is a lack of contentment, then we are always grasping for more. What we have is never enough. Because if we lack contentment, then there's this insatiability of the samsaric possessions. Because then to try and get more, this more that we always seek, we will engage in any kind of action, and we will not be concerned about any result of the action other than whether we will achieve more wealth, more prestige, etc. So we'll engage in negative actions such as deceiving others, cheating others, etc. And we'll make a lot of problems for others because we are striving under this afflictive mind, this mind that lacks contentment. And furthermore, so not only do we harm others in our striving to increase our own position, but we will destroy our own mental happiness, or rather we'll actually just prevent even the experience of mental peace. So we will not experience happiness at all. Why? Because there's a dominant mind that is this mind of lacking contentment that is so dominant. And when we're acting in this way, we'll continue to make more and more enemies, and we'll attract enemies to us as well. So really, in every way, from lacking contentment, we just have more and more mental unhappiness, more and more problems. So the meaning here is, if we don't develop this mind of contentment, and we continue to have this mind that lacks contentment, we will continue to harm others, to deceive others, to take advantage of others, to try and get what we want for ourselves at any cost, no matter the harm to others.
Then, Senna Chejevan, Senna Tang Mahova, Senna Chejevan, Gigi Matang, Mateva, Gigi Wood, Yudu, Senna Jessarisa, Devina, Ne, Sosia Sharapi, Tang Matu, and Janet Trevor Pimatu, Timbaya Tang Matu, then the Gazette Savin, and Gazam Jimikuma Toy Kiris, then Rala Dagmaris, and Jin Kiris, then I didn't send that Chevana, and the Senna Digi on the Lang Amba, and Gavachima, Kargiris, and Kissing out to Ida Gumasiadi. イダルの契約に決着です。セナディケ。じゃあ、今日は島ら、ね、便所の今日は茶屋だ。あんでにが考えてやぎ、決着です。セナ茶屋をまです。な、そそぎだ便所の、そそぎ、呼ばいて、あの、そそぎ便所茶屋だ。で、シャンリアとそこ茶屋だ。ちんば茶屋だ。根拠の中国はだ。で、茶屋いな。ん、地所を集中とね、でね、考えてるから、で、ろば茶屋いな。ん、ディ、ジンバです。ジンバで、キャワです。
지난
If we overcome this this mind that lacks contentment, in other words, if we develop the mind of contentment, then the way we relate to others will be very different. Because when we have this mind of that lacks contentment dominance in within us, in other words, when we're grasping for more and more and more all the time, then we tend to always be thinking about what we want and how we can get what we want and how we can protect what we have. Therefore, when this is dominant in our mind, then we are very miserly. Because this, the thinking to give what I consider so precious and what I so desperately want more of, to give this to others is very, very difficult. And in fact, it just doesn't happen. Rather, in the center of all our activities is ourselves and our own situation. And this is what drives us. So when this is dominant in our mind, we only think about ourselves and our own situation as we see it. We're not thinking in accordance with reality. And here, what is meant by thinking in accordance with reality is thinking about the reality of cause and effect. So if we are acting in a miserly way, we are certainly not accumulating the virtue of practicing generosity. So we are not looking after our material state in our future lives. Furthermore, with this mind of miserliness and the deeds that follow from miserliness, we are creating the causes that are likely to ripen in the rebirth as a preta, so within the suffering lower realms. So, really, so now what we as Buddhists who are studying this now, what we might need to try and do is abandon this mind that lacks contentment and try and to generate repeatedly again and again this mind of contentment. Because when this mind of contentment is present and we are happy with our own situation, then it's very easy to think about others and think about benefiting others and to move our focus towards others. And the practice of generosity then becomes easy, and not only easy, it becomes heartfelt. Therefore, we're engaging in acts that are accumulating virtue and taking care of our own future lives and making sure our future lives will go well. And then also, of course, this life. We know a mind of contentment is a mind that is a happy mind, it's a relaxed mind, it's a peaceful mind. So there's benefit in this life for us, and there's benefit for us in our future lives as well. And then furthermore, not only are we acting to help others, but we are purposely not acting in harmful ways to others. So there's very clear benefit coming to others, as well as a great reduction in the harm that we could perform for others. So this really is something that we need to do, this development of the mind of contentment. So we hear a lot about, we mentioned at the beginning of tonight's class and in every class, the need to accumulate merit so as to aid our meditation. So we need to engage in acts such as generosity, etc. This is the act of generosity, developing this mind of contentment, and with the mind of contentment present in our mind, engaging in acts of generosity, because then one is really wholeheartedly helping others. So this, as Buddhists, is something we need to do for all the reasons we've mentioned tonight and previously. So again, to emphasize, we need to accumulate virtue so as to ensure that our future lives continue to go well and that our spiritual practice has power behind it, especially our meditation on emptiness and the like has power behind it. So we speak about these methods to accumulate virtue, practicing generosity, guarding ethical conduct, etc. So it's important that we engage in these practices because of the results that we are aware of. But if we go about if we make this a division between now I'm practicing the Buddha Dharma, now I'm engaging in my daily life, and these two are not in accordance, then through thinking like this, not thinking in accordance with reality, but thinking in this kind of partial way, we will then, when we are engaging in our work, when we're trying to ensure that our situation is materially good, our mind, such as my silliness, will strengthen. Our selfish mind, the mind that puts our own needs at the forefront of what we do, this self-cherishing mind too will strengthen, and therefore the harm we give to others, the harm we cause to others, will increase. And therefore the virtue the non-virtue that comes from all of this will really be great. So therefore we really need to think in accordance with reality. We need to bring our understanding of the Buddha Dharma into every aspect of our life. And we need to hear when we're saying thinking in accordance with reality, this is particularly relating to causality, being aware of cause and effect. So when we can help others, we really should do that. And here when we're talking about generosity, because of the way the text is described, you'll often think about generosity in a material way. So this is good. If we can help others in a material way, those who struggle to eat, who have enough to eat nutritionally or to live in comfortable conditions and the like, if we can help them materially, we should. But generosity, as we've heard previously, is broader than just the practicing of material generosity. It's also the generosity of guarding against fear, or in other words, protecting the lives of others. So here we do have these opportunities sometimes to help animals. So when animals are in danger of dying, whether it's insects in our home or animals that are being prepared to be slaughtered, to be butchered, if we can protect life, then this is also an act of generosity. And the result that comes to us in future lives is that we our future lives will be healthier, our lives will be longer and the like. So there are these kinds of good benefits that come from practicing the generosity of giving fearlessness, or taking away or removing, eliminating the fear other beings have about their own lives. So therefore, whenever we can, we should try and protect others and help others as much as we can, not just materially, but in other ways too. And here also it's important to be aware of our motivation. If we have a motivation of wanting to benefit others, and this motivation comes from minds of love and kindness, then the way that we help others will be so much more effective, and the result that comes from it for ourselves and others will be so much greater. If we have a motivation of, I hope people see me doing this, I hope I become known for this, maybe I'll get on television and become famous, then, well, that's not really the acts of generosity we're talking about. Really, we're talking about to not just help others so as to relieve them from their suffering or to have a good result for ourselves, but really to do it with this motivation of loving kindness, because then the result for both ourselves and for others is so much greater. We come now to the second outline, the fear of losing loved ones, at the bottom of page 86. So I'll just read the first line here. We who live in the world of samsara all feel attachment for those with whom we identify and hostility towards others. So this is very true. People who we consider as part of our group, whether they are our close family, our loved ones and the like, our close friends, then we relate to them in a particular way. Those that we consider outside of our group, especially those who we consider hostile to us or prevent us from doing what we want and getting what we want, so this group of enemies, then we relate to those sentient beings in a very different way.
For those
of you who are parents, or certainly all of us have seen this with our own parents, the way that parents relate to their own children. So here, parents really have at the forefront of their mind the situation of their children continuously, and this is usually a mind of worry and concern. So that they're always concerned that the child is healthy, that the child doesn't harm themselves or get harmed from an external source. So easy examples: when driving, put them in the car, put them safely, make sure they're buckled up, but always driving with an awareness that the child is safe. And from whatever one engages in, the parent is always concerned about their child. So this mind is a mind of constant worry. It's a mind of unease that the parent continuously has towards their own child.
Also, Lega said to my mother, she drew her, and I shall
파마다 카드인 누구로 하고 세상가 자간이야 카드인 조사를 쓴 비둥아 한 부분가 야도 쓴 제 야고제 사마를 쓴 비기 되네 둥아 되네 나서 준 거로 와
There's concern for their children. So of course it's not something that's just whilst they're little and really need the protection and care of their parents, but continues throughout the life of their children. And so even when the children are older and they're now entering the world of work, so there's a concern, does their work turn out well? And when they leave home, will they still be close to me? Will they still take care of me? Will I still be, will the way they relate to me be the way that they used to when they were little? So there's always this kind of worry. Will we always have this close relationship that we have now? Will they still relate to me in a loving way when they're older? And when they are older, of course, there is always the concern that maybe the relationship has changed and it's not as close and warm as it once was.
So that's
about the relationship between parents and children, but it's not just restricted to parents and children, although there it's very strong, but it's quite similar with what we have with our partners, with husbands and wives. Because here, of course, there's a closeness and emotional intimacy, but there's always an unease, an insecurity. This, what I have now, this precious situation that I have now, will it remain? Will it degenerate? Will it change? Will it weaken? Will the emotional intimacy that we have now, will this remain? Or will this get lost? The closeness we have for each other, will we still have it for each other, or will my partner have it for someone else? So this worry is also there in our relationships with our partner. We know from our own experience and what we observe around us that parents really care for their children with the minds of very strong and powerful love. However, under this motivation of caring for their children and wanting the best for the children, often the parents' advice and what they're wanting for the children isn't in accordance with reality. And here again, the reality of causality and the like. So the advice that parents often give their children doesn't take into account the karmic results that will come when this advice is followed. So, for example, the text mentions how to deal with difficult situations, so with enemies, or maybe it's bullying at school and the like. So these kinds of situations of conflict. And likewise, encouraging children to, or maybe when they're a bit older, to follow the paths of attachment, to engage in relationships and the like. So whilst the parents will have good motivation for their child and wanting the best for their child, their advice is often not in accordance with causality, and actually then can lead to a greater suffering and mental unhappiness for the child. Here in the text, then, there's also a description about how through the process of marriage, this situation gets worse. So here, the situation in the West is different from where I'm from. Where I'm from, it's still in a husband and wife, or a boyfriend and girlfriend, are brought together in a traditional way. So, for example, a young man will come over to a home, and the parents of the girl will interview him and see if he is suitable for her, etc. And then the parents of the two families will get together, they will have a discussion, and then a marriage will be arranged. So that's quite different from in the West, but nevertheless, what we do find in general is that this karmic circle, or the samsaric circle that we all find ourselves perpetuating, that this, through the despite the good wishes of the parents, through their advice and encouragement to their children, they pass on their own sufferings to their children through the perpetuation of the samsaric circle.
Na dene ki dosye din zada dandala karasun gora sene na ngandu ki da kowa le du sene kanga chi da chi di yonga di kori ki da kowa le yu wangi jewa ji sinje la dene ki kanga te di da kwa chunyi ro cha ngandu karasene le da nyumo wangi di jewa le sinje la kwa karasene chawa di ju dunga arwa da jenza dene ki inza kwa Dinigi Ganga Yuan Digida, or Chuni Ru, Rajin Ru, Chadi Rua, then Chegurua. Is not Dini in Zada Munishina, Dinigi, Lamdun Ru, Smason, the Dangon, Mazuga, Chike, Ganga, Mayora, Dinigi, Diwan, and Diva, Diwan, and Diva, the Adriag, Lamdun Ru, Kubo, this, the other, and Tadi, Diwan, and Diva Yadruada, and Mahoba, and Kiwachima, Ganga Matia. The D Lamdin is Suchi Gora, Senate. Givishin, Yan, And that is that you watch my gang on my way, Lamdu Yapucha was, Dingy did that. And that chick was shady, Sanya Chimney Mars, some were right in Mars. And Diggy that, on the Kiwa Chima that Chimba Sutum Savakum, Dinigi Shadu, Dedele Duma Nua, Kiwa Chima and Duma Mayagi, and Dikava Dioris.
Our situation of being caught up here in samsara, this comes about through having our these contaminated aggregates which we have attained due to the contaminated karma we've accumulated due to actions done whilst under the sway of the afflicted minds. So these aggregates that we have are the all-pervasive suffering of conditioning. So the suffering really pervades everything that we experience. And this really has come about through us continuing to act under the sway of our afflictions. And this pervades everything that we do. So therefore we see as parents, despite having good intention and wanting the best for others, in particular our children, we give them advice, but it's advice that is not in accordance with reality, but it's coming from a basis that is afflicted. So the results that come from this advice is so often the perpetuation of suffering, the perpetuation of samsara. On the other hand, we have the teacher, the guide, the Buddha, and his representatives, the spiritual friends. So the advice they give to their children, their students, this is very different, because this advice leads to happiness in future lives. It leads to ensuring that if this advice is followed, that virtue is accumulated, and not only is virtue accumulated, but these afflictive, disturbing minds, these suffering minds, they are reduced, and therefore our future lives continue to go well, and we continue on this Dharma path of progression towards liberation from suffering, towards full enlightenment, and being of great benefit to others. So we see here how the advice that the Buddha and his representatives, our spiritual friends, give really lead to very different results. Results of lasting happiness and really even changing the situation of our mental experience, our mental happiness in this very life, and certainly helping to ensure that our future lives continue to go well. So it's really a very different outcome through studying the Buddha Dharma and following the advice of our spiritual friends. Parents really undergo a tremendous amount of suffering, of worry for their children. It's something that's almost always present, especially when the children are young and they need to be cared for, because if they're not being cared for well, it's very clear they will be harmed. But even when they're getting older, there's a worry, will their studies go well? Are they developing emotionally in the way that is beneficial and the like? So parents are always concerned and worrying about their children. And then one hopes then that, of course, when they're older and they're out in the world, so to speak, that they will be aware of the kindness that their parents have shown them, and they will respond by helping their parents. Because as parents, you know that you have to work really hard to ensure that you have the financial situation to give the children the best that you can. And when you're older, you may not be in such a good position, a financial position, because of how much you helped your children. So then one has the hope that your children grow up, that they'll remember the kindness and understand the kindness that their parents have shown them, and repay that kindness and take care of their parents well when they age. And certainly there are many children who do this, and so we have the hope that is the case. Looking at the quotes now from Jetta Madhavipa, starting on page 88, So here it says at the very beginning, in the beginning your son is like a charming little god. And here we find with parents, with their children, that they're not so concerned about the hardships and the difficulty that they're encountering. Their mind is very dominant in their mind is the situation of their children. Their own difficulties are much smaller, has a far smaller presence in their mind. Then the children start to grow and become a bit more independent, and they're going out and starting to want things, and well, I want this, I want that, and then this list of demands that come from the child to the parents, well, it's seemingly unendless, but it probably is endless, where the child is always wanting, I want this, I want this, I want this, and never satisfied with all that the parents have already given them and continue to give them. And when one's children grow up and they fall in love with someone and they maybe move in together with their new partner, then the parents are not so important in their lives anymore and tend to be a little bit forgotten and in the background. And it will be quite common for the mum or dad to phone their child and say, well, I haven't spoken to you for a while, you haven't visited for a while, but it's not even certain that their child would even answer or return the call very quickly, because they're very involved now in their own lives and with their own loved one, and their parents tend to be a little bit forgotten. When the mother or the father calls their child and says, you know, it's been a while since we've spoken, when can we meet up again? It'd be nice to see you. And all too often the answer that they will hear is, oh, I've got so much work, I'm really busy, and we're going here, we're doing this, and sorry, no time. And this response comes despite the fact that the child came from the parent's body, and the parents gave so much and cared so much mentally, so much materially to care for this child. And yet in response, it's not proportionate at all. And in fact, one could almost say that the way the child relates to to their parents is almost as if the parent is an enemy. So an enemy here, again, in that sense of my parents are stopping me from doing what I want. So, and this is very strange when you consider how much the parents have given to their children throughout their lives and consistently throughout their lives. So seeing the situation, the thought should come to break the cycle of suffering, to turn away from this continued habituation and of engaging in habits that continue with this creating the causes for this kind of suffering. Malaripa then continues now, which you referred directly to the daughter as opposed to previously as son. And here he starts off with saying how the daughter is initially like a smiling goddess. Then, as she grows, then maybe she acts in a similar way to the son in the previous illustration. And here she will approach perhaps the father smilingly and say, oh, I'd really like it if you could buy me this or if you give me this. And then the other parent, she maybe would either do the same or go behind the parent's back and steal from her, take money from her her purse or from his wallet, and to try and get what she wants. So this unfortunately starts to happen as they get a bit older. Maybe this is because the daughter feels that her father is a soft touch, and if she asks it, maybe as a smiling, if she asks as if she were a smiling goddess, the father will give her what she wants. But the mother may be wise to these tricks, and so to get something from the mum, she needs to go behind the mother's back and steal from her. And if one's daughter doesn't get what she wants, so either the father says, no, I'm sorry, I can't buy it for you, or she doesn't manage to get what she wants from her mum either, then she's quite likely to get angry, because now her heart's wish isn't being fulfilled, and it's very clear who's preventing it. So it's very likely that she'll get angry and abusive towards her parents. So this kind of experience, these sufferings are very clear. We all know them, we've seen them, and we've experienced them within the world. And the text then continues to explain how the difficulties that come through the marriage process. And so here again, this is very much in the context of how things worked in Tibet and where I'm from and the like. But nevertheless, the worries and the difficulties with parents come really from the moment of birth, and from the moment of birth, from conception. So it's a birth within the womb, and then birth from the body, and then throughout the life of the child, there's always the worry, the concern, and this mental anguish for the child. And then it's not just the mental anguish of caring for the child and wanting the best for the child, and worrying that and hoping that things will turn out well for the child, but engaging in a lot of activities to try and materially be able to offer the very best that they can for their child. So all these kinds of problems and difficulties come really from the very beginning and throughout the process. And then Malaripa ends this verse in the same way as the one before, where he's saying he sees these difficulties, he doesn't want to engage in the accumulating the causes to experience these in the future, and so therefore he's going to cut this, he's going to endeavor or strive to cut this and break this process of samsara.
ဆုံးလာတဲ့တံပေါ်တဲ့အော်ဒီကျတဲ့ဟိတလေဒီဝိမြေစံဒေရှောဆက်ဒေရှောဆက်တာဒီနေ့ကနခလာရဘောတဲ့သူစီဂရက်စ်အဲ့ဒီနေ့ကနမဆူပါခလာတဲ့သူရခလာတဲ့ဒီနေ့ညံပါတဲ့သူစီဂရက်စ်အဲ့ဒီကာသမ်ဂျီလျာအဲ့ဒီဆူစုကြီးပင်ကြောရိုးတာဒီနေ့ကကံအထေရတဲ့ဒီနေ့ပါထားရင်းမရှိမဲတော်တော်စင်းကိုမဲတော်သူသူတို့ဒီဂရက်စ်ဒီနေ့ကကံကုန်ကိုရက်စ်
Then looking at the quotes at the bottom of page 88, so here Malaripa again points out something that we have experience of, that when things are going very well for us, we tend to have many friends, many people who enjoy being with us, and maybe will enjoy going out with us, and invite us over and the like, and be very happy whenever they speak to us and praise us and be very pleasant to us. However, when us if our situation changes, as it usually does, and we fall on hard times, then so many of those friends disappear, and it becomes very clear that they just were never anything more than fair-weathered friends, and were really never cared for us in any way. They were just enjoying our material wealth. So this is something that already we have some experience of.
ဒီရင်ငံကြီးဒီကလပ်ချစ်တီလပ်စံဒီကလပ်ချစ်လင်ကွေတဲ့ခရဒူလပ်နာဒါဒီနေ့ငံတို့ရတူချင်းဒူစံတနာကငါကြညာငါကြညာလီကိုရစ်တာဒီနာရှိနေဟာကျဲဒီရှိမရှိပါတူကငါဇွားရဲမဲ့မူဒီနေလီကိုရစ်ဒီရင်စံဒီနေ့ကငါယူတွေ့ထပ်ကြလာနဲ့ချွေညံစံညံလင်းချင်းမှာတော့ထားရမှာလေချွေညံလင်းချင်းနဲ့ကငါဒီလိုတွေ့သူကိုရစ်ဒီရင်စားတဲ့ချွေညံလင်းချဲတဲ့အောင်စ တောင်ပေါ်ချင်ပတ်နေရာကိုသူနေတဲ့ငံကြီးပင်ကြော်ရာစားတယ်ဆယ်နာမှာချက်နေအဒီဆယ်နာမှာချက်ကြွချက်ဆိုစုကြီးတာဒါရတာကြော်ကြော်ပါရှင်နာဆိုစုကြီးတာဒါဆိုစုဒါကဆိုစုမြေမှာကန်ဆန်းမှာဖြူချင်နေဒီမှာတာစစ်တယ်ဆိုစုကန်ချင်းကွာတာဒီစံဆိုစုကြီးကြိုးကြီးနေဆရာတဲ့ဆိုစုကြီးကန်မှာတစ်တောင်းဝတ်တောင်းစမ်းချက်ဒီနေ့ကြီးရပိုင်နာဒီနေ့ညာဆယ်နာမှာချက်ချက်ရမြေလျာနဲ့ငါတို့ချမ်ပါ ジンバタンダ、ディネギチェアダ、ディネギエダ、ジンバタンユカブラ、セムスングエディカリングオセネム、ダディ、オマイ、ミチマタンゴスミチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェアチェア 가신 거신 안에 제발이나 전주의님도 최고.
전주기 콜라다그랑 송우산?
아오.
전주기 콜라다그랑 송우산?
제가 집에 땅에다 최후에 샘 가와진의 표배이나 가랑라진 제발이나 아오 야보랭의 제긴지 가랑라지 표배이나 전주의 최고래. 전주의 최고래. 얘네 안에 소수기 땅에 집에다 얘네게 제 진수 진보 출음 접었던데 삼대 시럽 죽이 파신 죽이 냠는디 진보 직다도 그 차상 염도 냠는디 얘기 고업설 거래 니네 가서 강원도도 지역 담비네 타나 지우지리아 칼라 제베나 총주 제베나 삼바디리 니네 삼단다 반도 친구여래 예상 아주 그 니네 전에 냠는 제야다 도스네 당하지 냠는 제는 아주 삼로 나래 곰시 제야디 냠는 세대 삼는 나로 곰리지야들이 이 곰리지 들려야만저 장전 제호가 이런 걸 없던 지기 전전에지 되기도와 전전에 시리샤 제 제마들에다 전에 대봐 토도 미개에서서 괴디 따다따다 라마트비 강아 열애야지 디시야래.
So tonight we've looked at two outlines on of these, this section of four outlines of additional sufferings of human beings within samsara. So really what we need to do, what we need to take away from this lesson is we need to read the text here again, again and again, and think about the meaning here. Because it's the thinking about this meaning again and again, we'll really come to see how through our samsaric situation, we just meet in problem after problem. We have one difficulty after another difficulty, and these difficulties just seem to come one on top of the other. And even when we meet what we consider to be a favorable situation or a happy environment, but when we think about it in the Dharma context, we see that this isn't a lasting environment. It's not what we could really call happiness from our Dharma perspective. So we need to think about these two outlines that we've looked at, because, and we need to reflect on them repeatedly to really see how within samsara we just meet problem after problem and difficulty after difficulty. When this understanding, or through this understanding arising in our mind, it will have a profound effect on our behavior. Because with this understanding, we will see how it's through the practicing of Dharma that we can break this cycle of meeting problem and difficulty after difficulty. We can break this through engaging in the practice of Dharma. So we've spoken tonight about the need to overcome this mind of miserliness and generate the mind of contentment. So we can talk about the, to do this, or through doing this, we can engage in the practice of generosity and the different ways of practicing generosity. So there's... So there's the practice of material generosity, and just with that I want to add one more thing that wasn't said earlier, that with the practice of material generosity, it doesn't mean whatever we have we should give to others. We need to ensure that because we all do have a need for resources ourselves, what we have in abundance, what we have in excess, this is what we can use to practice with engage in the practice of generosity. So it's not that we must give away everything that we have, but it's what we have in excess. This is what we can use to improve the situation of others. And then we also briefly refer to other forms of generosity, such as protecting the life of others, this practice of giving the generosity of fearlessness. And then when we engage in the practice of generosity, it's if we, before engaging the practice of generosity, if we've reflected on the six practices, generosity, ethical conduct, etc., and how they can work together, and one act can encompass all of them, then whenever we engage in an act of generosity, we won't just be engaging in an act of generosity, we'll also be engaging in an act of ethical conduct, etc. So, for example, when we're engaging in an act of ethical of generosity, if we are guarding our ethical conduct so that we are not engaging in an act of generosity in a non-virtuous manner, we are then also practicing the guarding of ethical conduct whilst practicing generosity. And often when one is engaging in virtuous activities such as generosity, one encounters difficulties. People maybe complain about what we're doing, or act in some way that discourages us and the like, and or that don't show appreciation. Then in this way, when you're dealing with these kinds of difficulties whilst engaging in acts of virtue, if we practice patience, so we guard our mind from becoming disturbed and annoyed, but we rather keep our mind virtuous and our motivation virtuous, then we are also engaging in the practice of patience as well as our ethical conduct whilst engaging in an act of generosity. And engaging in this act with an enthusiastic mind, and with a mind that's taking delight in what we're doing. So these two features, the one of enthusiasm and the one of delight in what we're doing, we are then also engaging in the virtuous act of ethical conduct. So here we've now got four of the acts together. But one of them is a physical act, three of them are part of the mental process. Or should say one of them is a physical act, of course, with a mental component, and you have the other three, the ethical conduct, the patience, and the joyous perseverance, as mental components. And the concentration. So here, of course, we're not talking in this context about single points of concentration, but more of an awareness of what we're doing. So we're not, whilst we are engaging in the act of generosity, we're aware of what we're doing. We have our motivation present. So here, this is the act of concentration. And then, our understanding of emptiness. If we have this present, we then have all six acts together, all six practices together within the one act. So here, in terms of emptiness, here it's best if you think about it in terms of dependent arising, like we studied in particular in the Heart Sutra, but also a bit in Tenets. So here we spoke, if we have our understanding of dependent arising present, how we are able to engage in this act of generosity due to the kindness of others. Our awareness of ethical conduct, or what constitutes ethical conduct, and what is the mind of patience and the like, due to the teachings that we've received. This will lead us to an understanding of dependence arising in the act that we're doing and the mental process as well. And so this is the act of wisdom. And we could also, if we have been developing this mind of understanding of emptiness of ourselves and of the person to whom, the person we are helping, then this again is the act of wisdom. So in this way we can see how not only how through one act of generosity one has all the virtuous components present, and therefore we are accumulating both accumulation of merit as well as accumulation of wisdom. And this, being able to act in this way, comes through the mental training that we do in terms of meditation and study, and through understanding how these six work together. So therefore, or thereby, when we engage in virtuous acts for others, we can have these minds present in our continuum. So that's what we've looked at tonight. Next time we'll continue on the top of page 89 with the suffering of not getting what one wants. So there we go. And thank you. See you next week.